Sometimes the hardest battles aren't the ones we fight on the field, they're the ones that play out in our own minds. Today we're talking about addiction in sport, how high performers can fall hard when the drive that makes them great turns into the very thing that breaks them. This isn't just about gambling or substances, it's about the need for escape, the search for validation, and the pressure to keep performing long after the game's over. If you've ever wondered why success doesn't always bring peace, or how to stop your own habits from taking control, this episode's for you. I'm Ian Hawkins, and this is Sport is Life. The purpose of sport, as I see it, is to see your vision become a reality, find your voice, create strong connections, and learn to trust your body. You may have seen the story that was in the news today, Thursday, talking about the former NRL player. He'd been on a current affair, apparently. Luke Bateman talking about his gambling addiction and just how much of an impact it had on his life. Made me remember my gambling issues. I don't know if I'd call it addiction, but certainly when I went out drinking, then I would feed way too many notes into those pokie machines, and I certainly not in the territory that Luke talked about in terms of him having a $500,000 a year salary for some of those years, and how he basically left with not just nothing but less than nothing because of the addiction. And yeah, what an impact. And he's not the first person suddenly earning a lot of money that's had this problem. The problem for young athletes and sports people is that they've got a higher than the average income at that age. They have more spare time on their hands. And probably the thing that's not talked about when they talk about it in the news is they don't have the mindset to retain that wealth. There's a theory that if you divided all the money up in the world so that everyone got an equal share, that within 5 years it would all restore back to where it had been. And the theory is that the money, whether you can earn it, retain it, is based on your mindset. And if you look at what happens to lotto winners, there's a huge percentage. It's well over 50%. It might even be higher as 70%. I couldn't tell you off the top of my head, that actually end up with nothing within a couple of years. And again, it's not a coincidence. This is what happens. The great Les Brown and Jim Rohn, when I used to listen to them over and over again back 10, 12 years ago, I said, if you want to become a millionaire, you better get yourself a millionaire mindset. And it took me a while to sort of understand that, but ultimately it's true. If you suddenly start earning a heap of money, it doesn't suddenly give you the capacity or the thinking or the ability to retain it or even add to it. So if you look at someone like Shaq in the NBA, he's someone who's been a really smart business person, but he also had a very good grounding in his upbringing around discipline. So he's used that discipline to his advantage. But there's also, you know, American sport is littered with examples of people that have squandered their money or ended up in a way worse place. So this is a reoccurring thing. And while they are still putting more and more of this information out for young people, young athletes, professional athletes, and teaching them, still, ultimately, there's going to be an element and a percentage of them who are going to self-sabotage. But again, that was me. My first proper job, I was earning, back then, what are we talking, 1996, earning $17 an hour, which doesn't seem a great deal at this stage, but I think it equated because I was doing like 9-hour days. it equated to something like $36,000 a year, which again doesn't seem a great deal, but for my first job out, I've come from uni earning next to nothing. And it was better than what some of my friends were earning at the time, so I was suddenly flush with cash, but I just self-sabotaged, particularly when I was drinking. Yeah, common problem. And it's just a fair bit of it was the rush. Well, you imagine these sports people, they have these moments of exhilaration when they're playing, when they're training. And there is an element of searching for that rush in other places. And that was definitely the case for me. You have a couple of good wins and you just want to experience that rush again. So I do believe there's probably to a certain degree, there is the addiction or the attraction to gambling would be a lot around that chasing the rush as much as the psychological wiring. But there's also that mindset that I talked about. Like if you don't have a mindset of wealth and don't have the discipline in place, then yeah, things can go wrong. So I'm certainly not averse to gambling, but I do think that with everything, like just having a little disclaimer at the end saying think about how much you're losing, whatever they say, that's not really going to be effective enough. And it was a real eye-opener for me when I was coaching a bunch of young men last year. Some of them have started to turn 18 and they're all talking about the bets that they'd put on. And it's like, wow, how is it that they straight away got into that? And we know how it is. We're bombarded with these messages, whatever sporting event you watch, that there is constant advertisements for all the betting agencies and the sports say hard and the sport governing bodies say hard. Find it hard to say no. Oh man, easy for you to say. They find it hard to say no because they're throwing lots of money to get that sponsorship and the gambling revenue is significant. So how do we educate our young athletes? This like Luke Bateman, like he's turned his life around. He's doing some pretty cool things now and has a bit of a following. And he's I believe no doubt that he's pretty passionate about showing people how you can live a different way. He had to go through the depths, darkest times, and he talked about just how his mum pretty much saved his life, first gave him life and then saved his life because she bailed him out financially, and that was pretty hard for him to face the fact that he'd put his mum through hell. So it shows the benefit of having that family support, but just shows that even with that support and that good upbringing, you can still end up with these behaviors. And maybe you can relate to the gambling, maybe you can't, maybe you can relate to something else that you do too much of, or you can get caught in, or realize maybe you feel a bit down because you feel like you've been doing too much, like scrolling on your phone. Like that's one of the most prevalent addictions going around at the moment. And there's a certain degree of self-sabotage. But also, if you're looking at that from a self-awareness piece, or if you're coaching other people, young athletes or young men and women who are, you're, of course, yeah, the women love gambling too. It's thinking about, well, what is actually the driver? So scrolling on your phone, often that is because there's a lack of something, maybe a lack of connection. Maybe you're exhausted and you're looking for that dopamine hit to energize you. So it's just starting to look for the pattern of why you're doing it. Like I said, the gambling for me was the rush. I did it, a few dollars here and there, then somehow got a jackpot, and that rush, I was like chasing that every time that I went out drinking, and then ended up invariably in front of a poker machine feeding money into the machine, sometimes hundreds of dollars a night. Used to get my bank statements in two envelopes because I wouldn't get it all out at once. I'd get $50 and then $50, and then maybe next time I'd only get $20 because maybe I need to slow down. But then the next two withdrawals would be $50 and $50 on the same night. Crazy, but it's that was the addiction to the rush that I was going through. And if you've experienced anything where you keep doing behaviors and then wake up the next day or later that day and you go, man, what have I been doing? I've just wasted this time, or I've wasted this money, or I've put my body through something that I didn't really want to do. How did I end up here? You got to look for the root cause. What's the driver? What's the payout that you're actually searching for? Or what is it you're trying to run away from? Because for a lot of those young sports people and athletes in the public eye, they're probably also, to a certain degree, some of them are uncomfortable with success. That's why some kick on and make it, but a heap just don't. Not because they don't have the talent, but has their mindset been lifted to the level of achievement that's possible for them with that exceptional talent? And again, if you bring it back to your life, while you're getting yourself stuck in these situations, repeating this behavior, what could you do if you weren't doing that? What could you achieve? What could be possible? What could you do with that time? What could you do with that money? What could you do with better health, better energy? And is there an element of fear around that? If I get that good, then what? It's that quote that I'm gonna try and guess. Maybe Marianne Williamson. I talked about it's not our failures that we're scared of. It's the success. It's the possibility that we could be more amazing than we could possibly imagine. And that scares people, because you stick your head above where everyone else is sitting, then the inner belief can be that people can take pot shots at you. And they can. We see it in the public eye all the time. Your ability to go and do it anyway for you and not be impacted by a whole lot of people that might try and bring you down, that's the key skill. I've mentioned before on the podcast that my first step into personal development was wealth building. And these are some of the first lessons that my mentor taught me. It was like, you've got to be able to act regardless of what other people are saying. And other people will tell you you're doing the wrong thing. It's too risky. It's like you're making a mistake. You should do this. You should do it safer. And that's just them projecting their own fears and insecurities. And they might not even believe what they're saying. They just also part of them like, oh, but if this person goes and has all the success, I'm going to feel really bad about myself. So going and taking these things on can be really confronting. You have to face all of these things. But the alternative is to be stuck in these patterns that you know you don't want to be stuck in. And you certainly don't want to pass that same pattern on to your children, but this is what happens. These things tend to happen generation after generation until someone becomes the circuit breaker and breaks that generational curse, that breaks that generational pattern that's been repeating often for generation after generation. So look for the driver that's causing that behavior. Address the driver, bring in a circuit breaker to change your thinking around that. Replot your course to a new destination, and then be open to new possibilities and new opportunities, new possibilities, and new ways of operating that will take you to where you want to go. So use this example, this story today from Luke Bateman, and use it to your advantage of what you can learn for your better future and your best performances. You've taken the time to listen to this whole episode. Now it's time to take action. Commit to one thing you've learned today and make it happen. And to avoid any obstructions, join the Sport is Life movement by clicking on the link in the show notes.